Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Hurricane Florence has prompted wall-to-wall news coverage across North Carolina in recent days, but that doesn't mean that all of the important stories have received the attention they deserve. NC Policy Watch environmental reporter Lisa Sorg has been telling some of those stories. Lisa even took to the skies shortly after Florence exited the state to get a firsthand aerial view of some of the flooding that has inundated livestock operations and other dangerous pollution sources. She joined me in studio to talk about what she saw. Well, Lisa Sorg, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Glad to be here, Rob.
We've just been through a tremendous destructive hurricane that we're still reeling from. You actually had the opportunity to take to the air in a private plane earlier this week and sort of survey some of the results. Can you tell us what you found out?
Well, first of all, the planes are very small.
We're glad you came back in one piece.
I really am, too. So I saw misery. We traveled a lot of the eastern part of the state, all the way from Wilmington up to Trenton, as far west as Fayetteville, Lumberton, and a lot of things are underwater. It also showed, though, the randomness. You know, you would see houses in one neighborhood that were inundated, and then you would go a mile away, and they were just high enough.
Right.
And then I saw a lot of inundated poultry houses. I saw hog lagoons that were to the brim. Some of them had actually overtopped. I can't say whether they breached. I think one of the things, and I reported this earlier last week, is that the spraying of waste on saturated fields is a violation of their permits.
This is not an uncommon practice. Normally, under normal conditions, that's one of the ways we empty hog lagoons,
right?
That the folks who run the operations run a hose and spray this stuff all over fields. And there's questions about whether that's really a good practice to begin with, but it is, under some circumstances, a lawful and at least accepted practice, but not right after we've had a massive storm and the ground's already saturated with water.
Right, because the water has nowhere to go. It runs off into adjacent properties or waterways, and they spray that waste to grow grasses and things for livestock. Well, the crops aren't taking anything up at that point. So that's why there's regulations against it. But yet we saw, at least I saw personally, three instances, and there have been others. So that's one thing I saw. And I saw a lot of, there was a mansion that was surrounded by water, and then there were mobile homes that were underwater. So in some ways, it cut across class lines. But one of the projects I'm going to be working on is an environmental justice analysis of some of the places that were evacuated, particularly in Cumberland County, where neighborhoods within a mile of the Cape Fear were evacuated. Preliminary work shows that I did during the hurricane, because what else is there to do, show that there were neighborhoods that were communities of color that were particularly affected by that evacuation.
I don't think it comes as a surprise to anybody that just about everywhere in America, and maybe even around the world, that folks of less means, who tend in our country to be people of color, tend to occupy the lower ground. I mean, it's just, it's that way in every community. I mean, go back to New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina. That was, of course, the famous flooding there that affected people who were of lower income. And it seems to be, just preliminary from my vantage point, that that's a lot of the folks most affected by Hurricane Florence are the poor people, people of color who are occupying the less desirable land.
And how they're going to rebuild is the major question. Will they rebuild in the same place? Will they renovate in the same place? And one thing that we were talking about earlier is that there are those Chinese retaliatory tariffs on building materials. So
Trump administration's economic tariffs.
Yes. And so China is retaliating with tariffs. And so a lot of that is on things like washing machines or building materials. So if you have to rebuild your home, how much extra is it going to cost to do that, whether you're covered by insurance or FEMA? The dollars won't go as far.
And we know that the rebuilding, even at the best possible scenario, the rebuilding costs are going to be astronomical for North Carolina.
Right.
And if we do it, you would think that if we do it right, there's going to have to be some relocation. I mean, the reality is this: there's a lot of folks who have been affected by Florence who were affected by Matthew, who were affected by Floyd. Maybe we're starting to get the message that there's parts of our state that just aren't permanently inhabitable anymore.
That's quite possible. And I think one of the things that is worth thinking about is we've always thought about the 100-year floodplain, and I'll explain what that is in a second. But outside of that, you've thought, well, I'm safe. I'm not in the 100-year floodplain. And a 100-year floodplain means not that it could happen once every 100 years. That's a common fallacy. It's that there's a 1% chance of an event like this happening this year.
Right.
And then if you're in the 500-year floodplain, that's 0.2% chance. Right. However, those statistics, those chances seem to be going up with climate change. So you have to wonder whether the 100-year floodplain is actually protective. And I think the argument from what we've seen in the last few years is no. And even Smithfield, for example, moved their hogs to higher ground into beyond the 500-year floodplain because that's where Floyd hit. They still lost 5,500 hogs.
Less than 20 years after.
Yes.
Floyd. So that's not 500 years. It wasn't just animal facilities and chickens and hogs that were breached. There's an array. You've written stories about all the toxic sites, the coal ash dumps that were all in the path of Florence. And it's going to take us a while to figure out which of those was inundated. We may not even know in many instances.
Access right now is not possible. A lot of inspectors can't even get to the hardest hit areas. The EPA has said they're going to come in and do some sampling near the Superfund sites, but it may not show everything that happened right afterward. It may not show the worst spills. So I think right now a lot of the inspections are just not feasible because the waters are still so high. But those are things to look at, and the coal ash, the breach at Sutton. Sutton is a former coal-fired steam plant, right. And it has a coal ash landfill it's under construction part of it. And that is to take ash and allegedly store it safely. Yeah. And part of the slope, which is basically the wall, breached right. In two places. Duke says it went into a ditch, kind of a containment area. We don't know.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, one of the discomforts of this entire storm is that there's so much we don't know.
And it seems to me, again, as someone who knows most of what they know about it, the environment from reading your stories, that our state regulators at the Department of Environmental Quality, there's a lot of great people there trying to do good work, or at least some people. It's a greatly diminished agency, though, and the capacity that they have to respond to the literally hundreds of sites has to be much in question going forward.
Very much. Not only in the best of times, but I was talking with DEQ a couple days ago, and they said, you know, our Fayetteville office was evacuated. It's right on Cross Creek. I've been to that building. They're on the 7th floor, but the building itself is uninhabitable on the 1st floor. So they're really not able to function fully. The Washington office on the coast and the Wilmington office. So that's staff that's just not immediately available.
Another issue I think, probably not spent a lot of time on, or maybe some people have missed, is the fact that drinking water is already an issue in our state with all the sources of pollution we have. It's a fragile infrastructure that we have, but this is obviously, it's taken a real body blow with the result of Florence.
Yes, the Department of Public Safety had issued a list of water systems that had problems. That doesn't mean they weren't producing water, but maybe they were on backup power or they may have been out of water altogether. And the number of customers was 1.4 million. And that's not including, that's just the customer, more like a household. You don't know how many people are in that household. And that just, to me, indicates that we have a serious infrastructure problem. And there are places in North Carolina where the tax revenue cannot support the upgrade of these systems. And so what do you do?
Going forward in the long run, I know you'll be writing about this and covering it, there's going to have to be some sort of a significant sea change in how North Carolina approaches preparing for these storms. Indeed, how and where we live in this state, people are going to have to start rethinking that because it just seems undeniable that the climate is changing, that these storms are becoming more frequent. And there are areas of our state that are just going to be, unless they are significantly modified in some way, are just not going to be permanently inhabitable.
Yes, and we have ourselves to blame for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think there's, you know, the soil in the coastal plain is very sandy, and there's meteorological and geological reasons why that is a precarious place. To put, for example, industrial hog farms, but also in some instances to live. But you've got people who've lived there for generations, so think about how difficult it would be for you to leave your home. I mean, at that point, you become a climate change refugee.
Anything in particular people should be looking for in the days and weeks ahead that you really want to be focusing on with your coverage?
I've got a project where I am mapping the swine farms that are in the 100-year floodplain. There's a buyout program. And some of those farms have been bought out, which means they're in conservation easements and they're no longer having hogs. But there are some that the money has not been there to buy all of them. So I'm mapping the ones that are left in the 100-year floodplain, and then I'm mapping the ones in the 500-year floodplain. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how many are in these counties, in these zones. And so that's the analysis I'm doing right now.
We really look forward to it. Thank you for all that you do. People check her out. Lisa Sorg's incredible environmental reporting at ncpolicywatch.com. And we'll have you back soon and see what you found out.
Great. Thank you.
Coming up next, an expert on coastal development discusses Florence and its implications for the future. Stay with us.